Welcome to episode number 24 of the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge podcast, and this time we are coming to you live. There's no room for error this week because we are coming to you live for the first time ever, and it's very exciting. And even more exciting, we have back our trusted co-host, Javier Gancedo. Javi, we've missed you the last few weeks.
All right. Well, yeah, but I mean, I was here. It was you who was away. I mean, I just missed 1 week, right? I mean, what are you talking about?
I thought you ran away because you saw how I scored and how you scored, and it was a good time to get away.
That's one of the reasons. Yes, definitely.
And who are we missing here?
Vasiliki Karamuza, what's up?
Hello, hello, everybody. Good to see you all back again together. And good to be live for the very first time. Are you guys nervous about it?
A little bit, yeah. I curse a lot, so yeah, a little bit.
Not more than me, trust me.
I guess I don't have to worry because I almost never curse, so.
Okay.
Lucky for me. Vasiliki, I promise, I can't really trash talk you, even though you come off a very poor week, because you still have the best score of the three of us.
Really?
For the season,
How do you manage to do that?
I don't know.
We're like 100 points behind, too. Like, we're not going to... I mean, you're the regular season winner unless something really strange happens, so we'll see.
No, I don't think so, unless I got my math wrong. But yeah, it's been a good month for me, so people should really be trusting my advice. But you know who comes off a really, really strong week?
Well, I do know. Unfortunately, this time that we're alive, he's not coming from Greece, if I'm not... entirely mistaken. He's coming from Lithuania and his name is Karolis Abrazaitis. I hope I'm pronouncing this the correct way. And he amounted more than 242 fantasy points, which I think it's the highest score we've seen all season long. If I don't remember a higher score, it's almost 250 points. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it puts my 206 a little bit in the, you know, something not to brag about when he gets 240 something. But Javi, did you see who scored a little bit better than me in the private league?
Not really, no. But I'm sure you're going to like me, so please do.
No, the two guys who had that scored directly.
Yeah. I saw Bill Laimbeer and Dennis Rodman, right?
That's right. So welcome to the fantasy game, Bill Laimbeer and Dennis Rodman. That is pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the two people that we already know. With
100%.
Names. 100%.
How could it not? It's their names. How could it be anybody different? I don't even know what you're referring to. It's so clear. And as we're going on the topic of guys who had some big weeks, I think maybe we should talk about the winners from last week.
True.
All right. I guess I got to go first because I have the biggest winner of them all. Highest PAR of the season for Nate Rubers of Valencia Basket, 44 PAR in 21 minutes, which is insane. It was also a club record, 33 points, club record for Valencia in the EuroLeague. I think the previous record was shared by Rubers and some other people with 30 points, Dulevic included. And well, he only missed one shot and he was fantastic. Like three pointers, dunks, rebounds. He had the whole package. And he extended his contract until the end of the 2027-28 season. And I'm sure Valencia is really happy that they did it before this game because they saved some money, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Vasiliki, who you got?
I have another guy that recently renewed his contract with his club. I'm talking about Justinian Jessup, who was very lethal from downtown in the game against Fenerbahce, the last home game for Bayern this season in SAP Garden. He had 5 made threes. He was killing it from downtown, and he deserves to be my winner, I think.
He had a crucial three at the down the stretch. It was the game clincher, basically.
I guess I missed the memo between you guys that I had to choose somebody who just renewed his contract. my winner is Nadir Hifi. I thought about maybe going with Julius Thomas because since he became the head coach of Paris, Paris is playing great. And Hifi, they scored 103 points in both games. Hifi's averaged 22.5 with great shooting numbers, an average PR of 31 over those two games. Do you remember earlier in the season, people were questioning whether Hifi would just be a one-dimensional scorer and not a fantasy player? Clearly not. He's been really strong all season. So he is my winner for the week. And I also have to give a shout out to honorable mention here with Branko Badio. I always like to choose somebody who took advantage of the opportunity. Valencia's had some injuries lately. Montero missed, I think, a game or two, and Cam Taylor. But Badio, he stepped up. He averaged 15.3 points, 5 assists for an average PR of 16 over his last 3 games. Big time in the season, stepping up with guys out. So honorable mention to him.
Absolutely. With De La Rea out for the double round, Badio is even better. So it's a good pick.
All right. Now, Vasiliki, I won't remind everybody the last week that you picked somebody as a loser, and then it turned out he was injured. So I hope that you don't jinx anybody.
And now,
this week.
Now he confessed to BBasket that he will retire after the end of this season. So I made him retire after I said he's a loser.
I didn't say who it was. Now you're giving away more hints.
It was Nando De Colo, and I'm sorry because I love him. He's a very smart, very intelligent, high IQ player, and I love him. And I've been following his career, but this time,
wait, if the people you love you call losers, what do you call the people you hate?
I don't have people that I hate. It's tough love. It's called tough love.
Tough love. That's right. We've seen that before with the Motiunas, yeah. I believe.
Yeah, and some other players. Okay. Yeah. Let's not go through all the list. It's long. So my loser for this week is Jared Butler. He had 3 out of 10 field goals and 5 turnovers, minus 4 PAR in the Serbian derby. Well, that's tough.
It is tough.
It is tough. So unfortunately, he's my loser for the week.
So, yeah, I'm going to stick with that same team. And my loser for the week is Chima Moneke, who's had his last 2 games have been his worst combined back-to-back games of the season. In the derby, he had a very pedestrian 8 points and 3 rebounds. That is not what you expect for such a big player in such a big game. In rounds 34 and 35, he's tied for losing the 4th most credits in the entire fantasy game. Only guys worse than him are Jared Butler, who we just mentioned. And Shake Milton and Kessler Edwards. So, yeah, it's been a rough run for Chima at a big time. So he is my loser for the week. Javi, who's your Zvezda player?
No, it's he wears red and white, but it's not a Zvezda player. It's Dan Oturu of Hapoel Ivi Tel Aviv.
Wow.
Well, he had a really rough game last week, and all of a sudden Tayo Diaz also played well. Jonathan Motley is back. His minutes are going down. I don't know if he's the reliable option he has been all season long, and right in the most important moment for Hapoel. So he had a really bad game. I think he's going to bounce back, but I would stay away from him from now on. Just
I have to say, I did not see the dip from him coming. I had him a few weeks ago. I rode him, and then with the unlimited changes, I pulled him out. But that was just fortunate for me, not that I saw it coming. But I agree with you. I think he'll bounce back. I think that was more of a one-time thing than Dan Oturo all of a
sudden.
Yeah,
speaking of, I really think Chima Moneke has a golden opportunity to play really well against Paris Basketball.
Paris runs fast. Now under Thomas, they run even faster. So more possessions, more opportunities.
Yeah, and for fast players, playing against a fast team, it makes sense, right? So
even Jared Butler is someone I think to consider. Also, Jared Butler, like we've kind of
we've dumped
on him a little bit. But the last time he played Paris, you remember what happened?
What kind of show is this that we all the losers that we say we recommend them? I mean,
no,
we sugarcoat it so they won't be offended.
Last time against Paris, also he was probably a loser for 3 quarters. Then he scored 22 points in the 4th quarter, the 2nd most points ever scored in a quarter in the EuroLeague. So. You know, you got to give credit where credit is due. I think that the Zvezda guys have a favorable matchup. Something to consider.
All right. Well,
what about our question marks then?
What about our question marks? Vasiliki, do you want to go first?
Sure. My question mark is Mike James. Not exactly Mike James, but how the situation is going to shape in Monaco's backcourt now that Mike James is back and he's healthy, good to go in these last 3 very, very crucial games for Monaco to stay alive in the play-in and playoffs race. I don't think it will change dramatically because now Nedovic is also out. So one guy is in, one guy is out. But, you know, Mike has another gravity in his game. He makes more decisions. He has the ball more to his hands. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think the real question is how much will he play, first of all? What's his role going to be coming back? For the last couple of weeks when Strazel, among other guys, Okobo, been playing great, I kept wondering what's going to change when he's back. And as we got closer, I thought maybe we're going to have to cut Strazel, who I've enjoyed some strong play from. And then I saw Nedovic is out, so that gave me room to believe that Straza will have a role no matter what. But we've got to figure it all out. We're gonna have to see what comes to Monaco. But and is Mike James coming back and playing fit to play? Does that mean that he's 100% Mike James, or is he less than 100% Mike James? Is he on a minutes restriction? We don't know these things. So,
yeah, I don't think. I think Monaco is on a hurry to get some wins. So I don't think minutes restriction is the best way to go if he is healthy.
Sometimes you're healthy for only X amount of minutes, right? The minutes restriction, so you don't overdo it, and you don't want him back for just one game. So these are that's why Mike James is a question mark. That's why he's in this category.
Yeah, it's a definition of a question mark. I like it.
Right. So my definition of a question mark this time is Lonnie Walker, who everyone knows I'm a Lonnie guy. I've always been a Lonnie guy. And he comes off a huge game. He came back and he had 25 points, 20.9 fantasy points. Is after a rough run of it. He is a guy who had been at his peak when he was healthy, 14.2 credits. Then he got the shoulder injury, missed a bunch of games. Now he's down to 11.5 credits. So there's great value there. And Maccabi's on a run, and Maccabi's that much better if Lonnie Walker is there. But he's done it for one game. So is Lonnie ready to take that role in the offense and be the go-to guy? Or is he still going to share it in the backcourt with Jimmy Clark, who's been playing great? So that's the question. Is this superstar Lonnie we're going to see this week and for the rest of the regular season? Or is it still Lonnie trying to figure out where he fits with the rest of a team that's been playing really well when he was hurt and then coming back? So that's my question mark. Which Lonnie are we getting right now? I don't have the answer. If I do, then if I did, then I'd be in a better spot.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a question mark if you had the answer.
Yeah, I think he's going to play well, but we'll see.
Javi, who you got?
Well, it's going to be a little bit controversial because he's a player I'm keeping on my team, but Zanam Musa is a question mark. I'm talking about Sarajevo Musa. I think he's the best player in the league. When he plays in Sarajevo, he always plays well. Actually, he had a PAR of 38 this week, and that means 41.8 fantasy points. Imagine who had him as a captain. Can you figure it?
You?
Can you figure it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, but playing against Žalgiris, though, it's different. It's going to be on the road. It's not Sarajevo. It's against a very defensive team. So I would say with Musa that I would put him in home games and take him out in road games. Why am I keeping Musa in Kaunas, though? Because, I mean, I'm grateful. It's 83 points, man. It's the best score I had from anybody all season, even Sasha. So, yeah.
I got to say to all the
did
people
Did he just say
there,
he replaced Sasa with Musa in his ladder?
No. I have both. And this week, we'll see who I have as captain. I have both. Let's see who's the captain.
Okay. Let me just say, if we're making a list of like best fantasy strategies, I'm not so sure that being grateful is the best strategy.
Yeah, but that's the way I am. I mean, the league is lost. Basiliki won. I'm trying to be grateful to the people that that's why I'm keeping Cavaliere. Also, he's my guy.
All right,
he's definitely your guy.
Oh yeah.
Let's just run through some real quick fantasy updates, some fantasy news. We already mentioned that Nedovic is out. We don't know how the Monaco backcourt is going to play out. We know that Jerrion Grant is questionable, and it'll be a game time decision. The same is true for Vasa Micic, who went to see his doctor in Germany, but Apoel says that they expect him to play tonight. So keep that in mind with when it comes to if you want to have Micic or Grant on your team, that check the news right before tip-off, or the tip-off of the earliest game, which I believe is Hapoel against Fenerbahce, so he should be able to, at least with Micic aside, right before and how it affects things. One guy who is definitely out is Luka Vildoza. And he joins Alessandro Paiola on the injured list for Virtus. What do you think about that?
Well, there's one name in mind, which is Matt Morgan, of course. He's been playing really well lately. Carson Edwards has been up and down, but I think without Vildoza, he should have a better game too. But I think Matt Morgan is the guy, the go-to guy in Virtus right now. He should be scoring a lot. He's one of the best per-minute scorers in the EuroLeague. And yeah, why not?
He'll need the ball in his hands more because they're down more ball handlers. So after Daniel Hackett, who's their only experienced natural playmaker, then I think that we're going to see the ball in Morgan's hands a lot more. So I agree, that's a guy to have. And another question mark that we have is Tomas Satoransky. Javi, what do you have? What can you tell us about that?
Not much. I haven't heard anything about Satoransky, but if he doesn't play, taking into account that Juan Nunez is also out and La Provitola is also out, Well, point guard options are very limited, right? And Juan y Marcos could be a good option for Barca. Also, Darío Brizuela proved in the past, especially last season, that he can play point guard. So these would be the two options that I would pick if Satoransky doesn't play. Both are cheap players in fantasy. Maybe it could be an option. But playing against Panathinaikos, I'll probably go for Lucas or Kendrick Nunn, really.
Also, all good points, things to figure out. We're going live. The games are tonight, so you don't have a lot of time to make a decision. Although some of this will still be relevant, I imagine, for the second half of games this week, for round 37. So on Thursday, keep all this in mind, 37. Speaking of round 37, let's talk about this week's games. The playoff picture is going to become clear one way or another. Playoff, play-in, postseason, all of it. So close at the top, so close in the bottom spots right there at 9, 10, 11, 12. Looking at all the teams that are playing each other, who do you think has the toughest week, Vasiliki?
I think Panathinaikos. He's playing two games in Spain. He hasn't won in Barcelona since 2013.
That is 14, a shocking stat. Yeah.
14 straight losses there. Last year, they beat Valencia with some free throws from Matías Lesor at the very end. So both of those teams got the wins in Oaka. It's a very crucial week for Panathinaikos. And, you know, Ergin Ataman said that's an early Final Four for his team before the real Final Four. And if they want to be there, they have to win, I think, both of these games.
All right, Javi, who do you think has got the toughest week?
I would go for Real Madrid. They play Olympiacos on the road and they play Fenerbahce. It's going to be really difficult, especially the game against Olympiacos, I think, is the crucial one for the first spot, for the top seed spot, this spot that seems to be cursed and everything, but everybody wants. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Madrid has its entire roster available, so Trey Lyles should be back and should play against Sasha. It's going to be interesting. Olympiacos is also playing better, so it's going to be one of these games that you don't want to miss. And it's also the game against Fenerbahce is going to be really, really important. So yeah, I would go with Madrid as the toughest schedule.
I agree with Madrid mostly because we've seen that they have the best home record, but they have a very mediocre, a below average road record. If they can't do it, they're going to fall. They're going to tumble a little bit in the standings, and that's meaningful because if they really are such a dominant home team and they fall out of the top four, they don't have the home court advantage to the playoffs. This is super critical for Madrid. They're going to have to win a big game. Because the final, they have to win a big game on the road, whether it's one of these two or in the playoffs. So, I think that they've got the toughest and most important games. Although, of all those teams, right, we haven't even mentioned Barcelona's got Panathinaikos and Monaco, huge games. Hapoel's got Fener and Olympiacos. Olympiacos has Real Madrid and Apoel. There's a lot of teams. Like it's going to be, this is the week that's going to decide the season. So much going on.
Yeah.
Vasiliki, you wanted to say something and I was speaking over you for a change?
No, it was for a change. It was the home record and the away record of Real. They have 17 wins and only one loss at home.
I read your mind.
Yes, but only 5 wins away from Madrid, which is shocking.
Yeah, so it's a huge week for Real Madrid. All right, now a little bit of prediction time. Who finishes first place?
I'm going to go with Olympiacos. I think they're going to win all 3 games. And if they win all 3 games, I think there's no other way. Olympiacos is first, no matter what other people do. So I'm putting my money on Olympiacos.
Even with 2 wins, I think they have clinched the first spot and they play in Armani in the last round, so that shouldn't be much of a problem. So I will go with Olympiacos as well.
Well, I'm not going to go with the Olympiacos. I was going to, but both of you did, so that wouldn't be very much fun. So I'll say Real Madrid wins a game on the road and maybe 2, and they do it because I want to be different.
Okay.
All right. That's good.
And will Maccabi and or Dubai make the play on Showdown?
See, Maccabi has really good chances. They have won 8 out of their last 9 games. They have 4 games remaining because there's a derby against Hapoel that is going to be played, not for you, but for us in Greek, it's a Sunday of Easter, prime time. So I think that Maccabi has, apart from that game, has a very favorable schedule. They play against Baskonia, they play against Paris, and they play against Virtus. 3 very winnable games.
I have a question before I make my prediction, Frankie. How big would it be for Hapoel fans to kick Maccabi out of the playing with a win?
It would be, I mean, this is a derby like all other heated rivalry derbies. If they were able to do that, then it would be the hardcore Hapoel fans would celebrate endlessly. Though I kind of still think, looking at the schedule and as we've been from before, the teams that are right there, the tough games they have, I think if Maccabi wins three, if they go 3-1, they still could finish in ninth or tenth place. I don't think. They've got some tiebreakers there. It'll come down to some math maybe at the end, but I'm not so sure that losing that game to Hapoel would be what ended. I think Maccabi would have to lose another game to a team below it in the standings to fall out. But we'll see.
Well, yeah. I'm going to go with Dubai then. I think Dubai will make the play-in, but not Maccabi. That's my prediction.
Interesting. All right. I think they both make it.
Okay.
So two teams is going to drop out?
I think Barcelona and Monaco are not in a great shape. If you look at their schedule and some of the tiebreakers, yeah. And we just saw Panathinaikos could fall behind. I mean,
yeah.
Right? Either Panathinaikos or Barcelona is going to lose.
Yeah. Right?
So yeah, it's going to be messy. So if Maccabi and Dubai win out, then I think that they both get there.
That round 37 game between Valencia and Panathinaikos is going to be something. It's going to be that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. You know what else I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to getting my hands on some Panini EuroLeague basketball cards. Javi, have you seen the new ones?
Yeah, there's a contender box somewhere over here. This is yellow.
Don't throw away yellow.
No.
Or the MVP award.
He'll be fine. This is it.
Javi's got all the props today. This is
Yeah. Unbelievable, eh?
Well, I gotta say. The Early Candidacy Challenge podcast is back with another massive giveaway, and I really hope that this time I can win it. But we're giving you, the fans, the chance to win an exclusive 2025-2026 Panini Contenders EuroLeague Trading Card Box. Every single week, not just one box, every week we're giving a box. So here, you can see this QR code, scan it. You know I will be scanning it every day trying to win because I want those cards. Not for my kids, I want them for me. But Javi, you've got some. So yeah. are you gonna open up a pack? And
I'm gonna open a pack, but I have to say that there's an average of two autographs in each package. It's only four cards.
One of them is mine.
Well, we'll see. We're gonna find out like live.
Remember, keep it above screen so that people know that you're not cheating.
Yeah. Of course. So I don't get Sasha, right? Okay, we have here Vasilije Micic season ticket card.
That's a cool one.
Oh, nice.
This is way more than four, I have to tell you. This is like, I have like...
Oh my God.
I don't know how many.
But I want them all, please.
I got Kirilenko. No, but this is interesting. I got Giankunas, whose jersey is here. I thought it was only... Well, anyway. I have Nikolaitis.
Nice.
Again, Vasilije Micic, superstar. So you tell me if you see an autograph. This is Milos Teodosic, career high 35 points.
That's a nice one.
I have Lesora autographed.
Whoa, yay. There you go. You got one.
There we go. There are two autographs. I promised Dominic Kromark, our studio boss, that he would get the second one.
You know that some of these cards are like numbered. That's limited edition. Are any of these numbered?
Not really. No, not so far. But here we have Sasha. We have Wade Baldwin.
Of course you have Sasha. You always have Sasha.
Sasha should be numbered. Go back and check the Sasha. That's not numbered.
Pau Gasol. And then there's only one autograph, so because I have Sergio Llull.
And maybe are you sure these are not numbered? Check the Sasha or check the autograph one. Make sure they're not numbered. I bet they might be numbered.
I don't see the number anywhere, really.
It's kind of embossed there, no?
Yeah, but I don't see it.
Check the Sasha one.
The Sasha one? Yeah, no numbers. I mean, they have a number here, but it's number three. It's the collection number, not three out of something, you know? Ah, yeah, right. There it is. Yeah, you're right. It's 45th out of 159. So yeah,
that's amazing. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, that's it. One limited edition, one autograph. So yeah, and then we have three more packages that we will open. I have them here. I'm gonna show with my these three packages we're gonna open in the next 3 weeks. So we'll see.
And I want to tell everybody, to the lucky winners, I will also sign a card and send it to you with my autograph.
Yeah, that's what everybody wanted to hear.
Can you imagine,
now they will all run.
Can you imagine the disappointment that you are promised two autographs and then you get Frankie Sack's autograph? Oh, Jesus.
What? Why would that be disappointing? That's so exciting.
Because they're expecting Sasha, not you. Anyway.
All right. I guess it's time for that part where we reveal our teams.
Oh.
So I'm just going to go really quickly and tell you about the moves I made, because you can go see my team from last week, which got 206 points. So I'm dropping Oscar Da Silva, who really was in last week just because of that weird turn three week, and I wanted to get someone from turn one, and he disappointed. Jimmy Clark, I'm dropping mostly because of the what we spoke about with Lonnie Walker, and I'm wondering if it's going to impact his role in the offense, in the offense. And Hasiel Rivero, who I need to pat myself on the back. Well, that was a great pick last week for 6.7 credits, 14 fantasy points. That was huge. And the guys who I'm picking up in their place are Matt Morgan, who we spoke about earlier, and for obvious reasons. David McCormick, who I believe I rode at this point last season. Energetic center. I really liked him last year in Alba. He's had a rough go of it this year, inconsistent, but he's been getting more minutes more recently for Bayern Munich. He's a cheap center. I like him a lot, so I recommend him. And I like going with those two centers in turn one, so that gives you the chance, even although Camigeli's 99% could be my guy, but it just gives you a little bit more of a cushion there. And then Dobrich, again, Zvezda against Paris. He's going to be on my bench anyway, but for a cheap guy with De La Rea hurt, I just felt like that was a good way to use the end of my bench. And the key part of my lineup is that I have three guards going in turn two. So that gives me, again, that insurance that I like. I've got Strazel, I've got Carlik Jones, I've got Huertel. So I could play around no matter how I want with guys for turn two and mix and match to make sure I maximize my roster. And captains, I've got Sasha, as almost everybody does in turn one, and I've got Carlik Jones in turn two. Those are my 10 superstars of the week. Did you guys forget that I had 10 superstars on my team? Those are my 10 superstars for the week, and they're gonna take me home.
Well, it's a good team. I like it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It is a good team. Which makes me even more doubt in my team.
I'm surprised that you sold Jimmy Clark, as a guy I really trust. But
So do I. It's not about him. It's always about the role. It's about the role. It's about the price. His price has gone up because he's played really well, and I enjoyed watching the price go up. But if Lonnie's back taking a bigger chunk in the offense, that's fewer shots for Jimmy Clark. And there's only so much that can go around, and they're not. I mean, this should be a high-scoring game. I still got Jalen Horde, who I think that everybody should be investing him, although he's much more expensive than I first recommended him. I think Brissett is still a good pick. But I think that with Walker shooting more and scoring more, it's going to take a little bit away from Jimmy Clark, so I decided to take a step away this week.
All right.
All right, I believe Javi, you go now, right?
All right, let's go. Well, I made some changes. I made a coaching change that we'll talk about it later. I traded Nikola Milutinov because he plays against Tavares, and you know my Tavares rule. I also traded Chris Silva, who was a little bit of a disappointment. Probably he'll have a very good game at some point, but he's been inconsistent. And I traded Trent Forrest because he didn't play. He's been on and off Baskonia's roster lately, so especially in the ACB for foreign restrictions. So who did I get? Well, first, I needed to get the center I really wanted, which was David McCormick instead of Silva. He's been playing fantastic lately. I had doubts between him and Kavarius Hayes, but I went for him. I also got Cavingele, which seems to be like the most solid center around right now. It guarantees you like the highest floor. And with the money I had, I went for, I think it was Carlik Brown. So, yeah.
Carlik Jones.
I got a Sterling Brown, sorry. Okay. I got Sterling Brown because I
tried to... We got a mix and match of Carlik Jones and Sterling Brown.
That would be great. No, but I wanted Carlik Jones. I didn't have the money, so I went for Sterling Brown, who has been fantastic in the last two games. He's scoring over 27 fantasy credits both games. Fantasy points. So yeah, that's more or less what I did. I keep Sasha as captain, of course, and I kept Musa and I kept Horton Tucker. So that's more or less the structure of my team, with a couple of players, Sterling and Elio Kobo on the bench, just in case.
Sterling Brown's been absolutely outstanding over the last two rounds. He's gained more fantasy credits, 1.6, than anybody except for Nate. Rivers is also 1.6. The question is, is that the peak? Are you buying him now for what he did the last 2 weeks, or are you getting more upside going forward?
No, I like the matchup. So I think that's going to be a really high scoring game. So we'll see.
Did I miss a memo that was said that we all need to have Cabigale and McCormack as our centers? What's going on?
There was no memo. I was surprised when I saw Javi's team myself.
You're plotting against me. Because I'm leading the pack.
That's not a bad idea. Maybe for next week we should plot against her. I hadn't thought
actually,
about that.
Actually, you copying us guarantees that you are on top of us. Like you get the like if we have the same team, you win. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. But I don't have the same team because these are not my two centers. At least one of them is different. And I only made two changes this week.
I'm getting yellow back. I was feeling guilty.
Okay.
I only made two trades, which I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not sure yet.
I'm not sure yet either.
Yeah. I wasn't very satisfied with Shea Brissett. He was my go-to guy last week. I thought he was going to have a great game, but he didn't. It was very mediocre, I'd say. And Clement Frins also didn't help me at all. So instead, I got Isaac Bonga, who has been averaging 22 fantasy points in the last five rounds. And Bitim, for the end of my bench, I wanted a solid pick for turn two. There's only two games, and I think Partizan has the most interesting players to choose from. That's why I went with Bonga. So my lineup consists of Kabingele and Lesor, Sasa Vezenkov, Elijah Bryan, Kendrick Nunn, Sergio Yul, and for my bench I have Bonga, Batim, Strazel, and Dobrich. Though I'm starting to think that if I get McCormack instead of Lesor, maybe I can upgrade another player, which I will try to do after we finish this live show. And I will let you know how that one goes, but I'm not sure if I will change it. I think that both Nunn and Lesor has to have a great game for Panathinaikos to win in Palau. So they should play well.
Can you imagine how difficult and how exciting would this game be in terms of adrenaline if we didn't have the reset button in fantasy? Like the choice you make, that's it?
Yeah.
Because
the designers ideas.
No. By the way, we have to talk about the end of regular season, but that will be in the next show. But we'll
get there. First, let me criticize Vasiliki's team.
Okay.
Because that's what we're all here for. I think that the problem with Lesor is that you're not getting mid-season peak performance Lesor. It's going to be inconsistent. And you have to know and going that. And if you're short on credit somewhere, those are not the credits that you want to spend. I also think you might be running, I understand that maybe that you want to have somebody instead of Brissett in turn two, but Brissett didn't play poorly last week. He didn't have great numbers because he's in foul trouble, but I think he played just fine. He's not somebody I would run away from. The same reasons that we liked him going to last week, the shortage of minutes at forward, they're still there. Maccabi's not growing another forward. He's still going to get the minutes. Yeah. It's going to be him, Brissett, Will Raymond, and Sorkin, who's playing a little bit of four and a little bit of five. So I would caution people, don't run away from Brissett. I don't have him on my team because I don't know that makes sense of Brissett and Horde. But if I like Brissett for the price, and he didn't have a minus six, he had 10, I think, last week. So it was okay. So those are the main things that I took out of it. I'd be careful, and you know, these are we seeing MVP Nunn right now? We didn't last week. Are we going to see him?
No.
So do you want to pay the price if you're not for a player whose price is MVP candidate, but he's not performing MVP against a team with even with a weaker backcourt, and maybe without Sadorensky, they're going to have a game plan around stopping him.
Also in a tough place to play like Palau Blaugrana. So
that's right.
This is the game that Panathinaikos needs him the most this season. So you know he's going to get the ball.
He's going to get
minimum 15 shots, so it depends how many of these shots he's going to make.
Maybe Cheri Osman is the guy to have there if they're double teaming Nunn. I don't know. I'm not saying for me. I just stayed away from it because I think it's a messy situation. I think it's a risky situation.
Maybe Juancho, he wants bragging rights.
That's
against his brother. I don't know.
Correct. Yeah. There's obviously value there, but I don't know that the best value right now is on Nunn and Lesor. Even if they happen to have huge games, you have to think, if this game is played 100 times, how many times are those two going to have huge games? The answer is not 99. So
it's got to play only once. I don't care about 100 times.
Right, I know, but to win it on fantasy, you've got to go with what's most likely to happen. So I just think you're taking risks there. That's all I want to say. Speaking of risks, it's always risky to have the same head coach as Vasiliki. Let's see who has the same, who she has, and whether we're going to be in trouble or not.
Well, unfortunately. Unfortunately for you, Frankie, I think we have the same coach, and it's none other than Oded Katas. It's working well so far. Don't complain about it.
It's worked out well. I think I said last time that Katas is probably my coach for the rest of the regular season. If they lose and maybe the team loses chances, I might have to rethink that. But as long as they're winning, as long as they're playing for the play-in, then I'm going to roll with Maccabi and their record. Because the toughest game that we mentioned before is the Derby is not a fantasy game. It'll be Sunday night. It's a makeup game. So the other three games are very winnable games. Even they have that one at Paris, which might be tough, but it also means a lot of points for Jalen Horde. I'm feeling good about Katash the rest of the way. And the only thing that could ruin this for me is the fact that Vasiliki is doing the same thing.
Well, I'm going in another direction. I think Baskonia has a good chance to beat Maccabi. So I'm staying away from Karas and I'm going with Sasa Obradovic. Playing at home against Paris, looking for a playoff spot. I think there are like good enough reasons to get Obradovic as a head coach. Also, very good price. 5.3 credits is great for a coach whose team is challenging for a playoff spot. So yeah, I'm getting Obradovic. Always going with a home team coach.
I generally that's been my strategy. Find the coach who is at home, has got the best chances. He's also facing though a coach who has never ever lost a EuroLeague game. So
just true.
Well, I'm doing really well with coaches this year. Probably that will jinx it, but so far saying,
Julius Thomas can claim not to be the winningest head coach in EuroLeague history, and you're picking against him.
Yeah. Have I told you that Julius Thomas is younger than me and I'm starting to feel old all of a sudden?
Interesting.
You don't look a day over 50. All right.
Okay. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but
all right. Now it is time for my favorite part of the show. Do you know what my favorite part of the show is?
It's get your dirt, get rewarded.
That's right. This is the time when our fans, we have so many fans, and our fans are sending in questions and comments and things for us to interact with. So I'm going to jump right into it. And Vasiliki, you get to go first with a question from Ali Senchan. I'm going to guess that Ali is from Turkey. That's my guess.
Okay.
Based on performances so far this season, which team among your top 10 expectations has surprised you the most with a disappointing performance, and what do you think has gone wrong with them?
That's definitely Panathinaikos. That's an easy answer, unfortunately, for the Greek fans and the Green fans. I don't know. I think they waited. Their strategy when it came to centers wasn't the best one because they hoped that Lesor would be back sooner in the season, and that didn't happen. And then, you know, the whole Valanciunas saga during the summer took too much of time and investment and hope, and it didn't work out. So plan B was Rashawn Holmes. That didn't pay off. And then, like, it's like an avalanche. So if not one thing is working well, then it affects other things as well in the chain.
Kenneth Reed worked out.
Yeah, but he can play 35 minutes each game. You know, his age, he should be the second or third option for a center. Panathinaikos needed a first center with Lesor out. So the math weren't mathing there.
The math wasn't mathing? Is that what you said?
Yes.
I like that. The math wasn't mathing. All right.
It's a TikTok viral phrase.
Oh,
I missed that.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not on my algorithms. Not on my reels. All right, Javi, are you ready for your comment?
Yeah.
Okay. It's from Thanasis Matsiaris. I'm going to guess that Thanasis is from Greece. That's my guess. Monaco will sweat, but they will squeeze a place into the playoffs.
Playoffs.
Playoffs, I'm going to say no. I have to be bold, right? I think they will make it to the play-in, but in not the best situation. I mean, they have to play on the road at some point, and the home court advantage will prevail. So I'm going to say that they're going to play also a tough team like, I don't know, could be Zvezda, could be Žalgiris, could be Barca. I don't see Monaco in the playoffs, no. I hope I'm wrong, because especially I'll be really happy for Nikola Mirotic, who are good friends, and I really want him to get another shot at the EuroLeague title and finally win it. But with the situation in Monaco, the way it is, with the injuries, the departures, I just don't see it.
Wait, if Mochy is a good friend and you believe in loyalty to your good friends, why isn't he on your team this week?
Because I have Sasha, and that's the space I have for friends.
He has one spot for a good friend and one spot for loyalty.
And also one spot for Cavaliere. So yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. I have to respect that. All right. Mine is a question. It's from Spiros Apergis. You think I got that right?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Spiros, how you doing? His question is Nunn winning another MVP this year? There's a very easy answer to that. No.
No. No way.
He's not even right now. If I had to choose my all Euroleague, but by voting is out there for the all Euroleague team for fans. If I had to choose right now my all Euroleague first team, he's not on it. It's not about talent. It's about what you've done for your team.
Who would be your all Euroleague team? I can give you mine if you give me yours.
I don't want to miss anybody. You want to do it next week when I've planned? I haven't really planned for this. It's got to have Sasha. It's got to have Francisco. It's got to have Elijah Bryant. I'm not sure. I have to think about more. We can do this. We can do a segment last week.
No, I can give you what I voted, which is these three players that you mentioned, plus Wade Baldwin, plus Nikola Milutina. That's my vote.
Yeah, that's a strong team. But we'll do it next week. I'll prepare my next week when I'm not there. But I wanted to just announce the winner from last week. We had for last month, the winner of a EuroLeague TV subscription for a full season was Georgi Nanovsky. So congratulations to Georgi for winning it. And I remind everybody here, you can scan in to get the link to send in your comments, your questions, anything you want. Every week we read a couple of them here and we react to them. And we give you very, very intelligent and profound thoughts on all of your comments and questions and stories. So please send yours in and we will do it. We've got another almost 2 months in the podcast, right? Or 6 weeks, I guess, until we're going through until the Final Four. So there's plenty of time to get those questions in and we will respond to all of them. So thank you, everybody. Thank you for sending in your questions. Thank you for being a part of it. And as always, I just ask everyone to like, to comment, to subscribe. YouTube, Spotify, wherever else podcasts can be heard, you can get this one. Thank you for joining this special live edition. I hope that we'll do more of these. And I want to thank specifically Javi and Vasiliki for not cursing.
All right. Yeah.
Yes, we did it, Javi.
Yeah, I cannot believe it. Thank God it's not in Spanish. Also.
And we will see you back again next week. Next week we'll be heading into the final round of the regular season.